This is a special podcast, Con and Amir. Amir. Oh no, let's turn his mic up. Yeah.
Yo, that's there better. I am.
There we are. Okay, good. It's chaotic. I've got Con, who's trying to burn some stuff, having difficulties with his computer. Amir just arrived in London town.
Word.
And we were just talking about... We just started off with a couple of tunes just to get you guys settled, but we're not settled yet. But anyway, they sounded good, right? Evan's Pyramid.
It's a Boston record.
That's what Con said. It's a Boston record.
Yeah, it is. Andre Evans.
Listen, I can't even go near to you guys because normally there's one person. Last week I was with DJ Shadow and he blew me away with his just beyond level depth. And now I've got two DJ Shadows plus in front of me.
Well,
So I tell you what, before we get going, Con, you're going to start burning some stuff, right?
Yes.
Because you've been doing these crazy edits. Mm-hmm. While we were listening to those two records just now, Evan's Pyramid and this new reissue by Lonnie Gamble Band.
It's Lisa Warrington, the vocalist.
Yeah.
And that's how the original came out, Lisa Warrington. Mm. And it's the label's Silver, I can't remember, but it's a Philadelphia record.
PPU.
I could be wrong. Yeah, that's Andrew Morgan's label. Yeah.
Right, and there's a 7-inch out at the moment as well, which I can't remember, but they're all really, really good, worth collecting. But while you're burning stuff, which is more your disco edit type stuff, remakes that you're doing, Amir, you've just been playing me some Shuggy Otis stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there was other stuff apart from Inspiration Information.
Yes, there were. Yes, there were. He recorded some stuff after that as he, you know, the plenty of conversations we had, you know, about 2 years ago. And he was saying he was shopping this record that I played you, this album around. And everybody was like, okay, this is not what we want. And he had to shelf it, and he never let anybody else hear it. He just put it to the side. You know, he got kind of depressed about making music, and he just disappeared. And, you know, about 2 years ago, a friend of mine connected me with him, and he was like, "Yo, I'm really interested in putting this out. My son says that, you know, you should put this out."
My son?
Yeah.
Son of Johnny?
Of Shuggy, yeah. Yeah, he was like, "My son says I should put this out." And I'm like, "Your son is right." You know, so let's get to it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, without really putting it out there, you know, he's had some health problems, you know, which sidetracked the whole thing. But I still think it needs to see the light of the day.
Yeah. Well, I suppose Gil Scott-Heron, think Sly and Family Stone. It's that generation and era. And but actually, Inspiration Information as a record, probably, I mean, you were telling me that he even got, because there was that last revival of his a few years ago when Luca Bop re-released that.
Right.
And he was doing programs like the David Letterman Show.
Yeah, he was doing the David Letterman Show. He was doing the House of Blues, you know. He was getting ready to come back out, you know, pretty strong, you know. But, I mean, man, the stories this guy used to tell me on the phone, man, just of like, you know, I mean, plenty of people know the stories now, but to know it straight from the horse's mouth is quite a different thing, you know? So, yeah.
Are you going to burn something for me so we can play a little something?
I can give you some treats, you know?
All right, listen, I'll tell you what.
I do need a CD.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you a blank. I've got a blank. Oh, I've got lots of blanks. Okay, so listen, I'm going to play a couple more tracks, and one more track, and hopefully we can start letting off a few of Conomir's specials.
Each time you say it, it sounds better and better and better.
Baby, the things that you're saying to me kind of make me laugh deep down inside. Because to me, love is obligation. Giving to those in need what they need and not what you want them to have. And by me going out and working a 9-to-5, I'm showing you that I'm for real, baby. That I'm really for real.
I love you.
I love you.
2 minutes left.
Okay, that's what I want to find out. So how are you getting on with your burning? Is it all right?
It's 2 minutes.
Yes. Amir, you started yet?
Yes, I've already started.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Con, you just went out for dinner with Zaf, didn't you?
Yeah.
I bought this record from Zaf the other day, and he said to me, can I remind everybody of Zaf and what he does and tweet him? But what's the name of his music selling?
Zaf's Music.
Zaf's Music. There you go, Zaf. I'm shouting you. I know that you've got copies of this.
That's a killer record. California record.
You don't even know where they come from, these.
I'm a nerd.
You're a nerd. I love it. You love it. Okay, let's go. Do you know this one? If you're a nerd, you'll know this.
Uh-oh. The Stumper.
Oh. Hang on, it's only going on one channel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hang on, that's wrong. That's a good test. What's up with this gear here? What's going on?
Let's get this better.
Is this the needle? Ah, it's just on one channel again. Come on. Give me another needle, Alex. Or shall I just switch the turntable?
Yes, well, let's just try this one.
Let's try this one. Jesus, thank God this is a podcast. Get away with it. Okay, let's try this now. Oops. All right, it's still a test. Don't think you've got out of it. There you go. This is on double channel, I think. Double channel? It's the future.
Best stumped. We'll be right back.
No, you did know it. Con did know it. I don't know if Amir knew it. Did you know it, Amir?
I'm surprised you don't have this too, because this is a New York, New Jersey record. Right? Brunswick, yeah?
Might be, yeah.
And I think this is a version of a track which the Rhythm Makers did. Is it Rhythm Makers?
Yep.
Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Brilliant. So, who's got the first CD for me?
I just handed you one.
You did. Actually, first of all, can you just break down what each of you do? Because I think people are a bit confused. And Con, what's your role in Con and Amir?
All right.
I'll
just break it down real quick what happened. Mm. We met in the record store in like, what, 95, 96?
Somewhere around okay. there, yeah.
Probably going on 15 years.
Wow.
All right. So the two of us became, we just found out we knew a bunch of the same people. Mm. We never met. We were fans of music. I was a DJ already at the time and already doing production and all that kind of stuff.
In Boston?
Yeah, in Boston. And then
which has got no club scene.
Yeah, pretty much. For real. It's the desert. So Amir at the time was, I think, just got a job at Fat Beats, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a record collector. You know, he had like crazy records. And he used to live with two other guys that were crazy record collectors.
So who's then, the oldest out of the two of you?
I am by a couple of years. I'm okay. 40 now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm catching up. But anyway, so then we decided to put our records together. And, you know, truth be told, at the time, the majority of the on tracks in the beginning were heavily, mostly Amir's records. Amir just had, just, you know, busting everyone's ass. So... I DJ'd everything. I programmed all the stuff and mixed it all.
Right.
So that, you know, kind of led to other things, and then we ended up doing a compilation.
The cleaning.
Yeah, the cleaning, which was Uncle Fish Fry's something something, and then that was another thing where we both put our records together. But again, being the DJ of the two of us, I programmed it all, and. We didn't split it. We just lumped everything together. Then the BBE thing happened off tracks. And with that, we both took separate sides. And so it would be Amir's side and then the Con side. And with that, I mixed and programmed Amir's selections as well as my own, and then did a bunch of re-edits. And then the last one, the most recent one, I managed to do a multi-track remix of the Donnie McCullough record. And so out of the two of us, I am the DJ and the producer. And now, through all of this, it has basically forced Amir into playing music and becoming a selector as well as a collector, which, you know, he has an incredible ear, in my opinion. And, you know... So that's what we kind
of
do.
I'm pleased yeah. I heard that. I'm pleased I heard that. And then, of course, you were, Amir, very involved with Vax Poetics and the record label there as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I started off, like you said, in 95. Well, and actually, late 96, I started working for Fat Beats and eventually ran up the ladder to become, you know, a guy that helped run the company with the owner.
Fat Beats was
Fat Beast, yes.
Record distribution, hip-hop, and magazines.
Well, yeah, we distributed everything. We also had a record label, you know, obviously the stores.
Yeah.
So I did that for a while. And I also...
The stores that were most recently closed down in New York.
Yes, there are no more Fat Beat stores, which, you know, it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
You know, that's a show in itself right there. But,
yeah.
You know, so I did that for a while. And then I jumped over to Wax Poetics to set up and run their label. And that's what I'm currently doing now. So I've always worked on the business side of music, but also have had one foot in being a selector, artist, or whatever you want to call it, and putting out records with BBE and other people and through ourselves as well. So,
well, those BBE records were just phenomenal. I think they were very much ahead of the curve when it comes to just digging that much deeper. And ever since sort of those came out, there's been a whole heap of new generation compilations from Numero to all these other stuff coming. But your records, I think I should go back to them now because I'm sure I'll be able to catch up with them. At the time, they were sort of too deep for me as a quite a deep collector. I mean, not too deep, but you know what I mean? It was really like... Phew, you know, a lot of information there. Uh-huh. Whereas a lot of compilations you get, and well, in my opinion, or where I am, and I'm kind of pulling out two or three tracks. I'm like, yeah, very interesting, but I know the rest.
Yeah,
but right. This was very next level stuff.
Well,
so,
thank you. Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. We kind of set the bar high for ourselves.
Yeah,
in that
did you?
Sense.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, where the hell can you get all that music from? Well, basically, what you've done, Con, as well, most recently, which has blown me away, has been this sort of whole new remake type mm-hmm. mixing. We'll talk about editing
cool.
and remixing, but let's start off. Let's just get some music rolling now. This is your Leon Ware. Right,
I don't know what you got queued up.
I think
up,
it's number one. Number one on this. What's this?
Take it from. Let me hear it. Nope, that's not it.
What's this? Don't even know what you've got on here.
Yeah, that's that's a dub. That's a dub.
Is that a good way to start? Do you think, or should we?
That's the Bee Gees.
Yeah, that's a good way to start. Okay, let's do this, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
You know, when I did that mix on Radio 1 a few weeks ago, it wasn't meant to go out on that show, but it was my birthday, and you'd sent me this mix of these remixes that you've done, and each track just blew me away, and I've had so much reaction to that mix show that we put out that day. In fact, I even took some of it and played it out as sort of slices of the mix, which I know is a bit naughty.
It's all right.
But I'm just admitting to it now to you. anyway, so basically this is... Just tell me a little bit about this new kind of movement, which has been going on, but it's like... going one step, because even when I was talking to Shadow about all this the other day, it's not even about getting the records now, it's kind of getting the masters, it's the sessions themselves. So you're just taking it to the next level.
Yes, definitely. I mean, if you think about it in the context of collecting records, okay, and then you take it, like what you said, it's not tangible. So, but when you do get the session and you just sit there and play with it and put the parts up, man, it's mind-blowing to hear the songs. You know, someone told me you're playing God with the tracks. And I think this is an accurate description. You know, and I think it's a small circle of people, and I'm very fortunate to be involved in that circle. And basically, it's just kind of like trading, you know. It's like trading records or baseball cards or whatever, but you know, you might have some things that somebody else doesn't have, and then you give a little to get a little, and then you keep it. The circle's pretty tight. I mean, this stuff, it's not for everybody, you know. And I think a lot of kids, younger guys I know, are just like, oh, you could, why don't you just give me the session? Well,
when you're talking about the session, right? When a band goes into the studio, particularly back in the day, but now as well, but there's obviously the computers that have got their part to play these days. But back in the day, I'm Morris White, I'm Earth, Wind & Fire. I've just recorded All in All, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got these big, fat 48-track master tapes, right? Are you talking about those tapes?
Those... That's where they originate from, but I have the Pro Tools sessions.
So someone's got the 48 tracks and then they've transferred them onto Pro Tools.
Yes.
And now these almost like prints, like if you're getting a really great artist, a Basquiat, it's not quite the original, but it's one of the 20 original prints.
Exactly.
That's basically what you're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody got All in All by Earth, Wind & Fire yet?
Not that I know of, but there is.
Earth, Wind & Fire is going to be good, right?
Without saying too much, there is some Earth, Wind & Fire.
There's a lot of music in Earth, Wind & Fire. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I bet you needed more than 48 tracks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, from a production standpoint, it's also a great learning tool. And I know that some of the Queen stuff was floating about and some of the Motown things. And I think for some classes, certain sessions were being used to teach. And I think, man, it's just amazing from that standpoint when you're learning about music and you're learning engineering and you're learning production values and aesthetics and all that stuff. It's mind-blowing to see what... Because you think, you know, it's a computer, you have the screen, you can cut and paste and do anything in a split second. Then, it didn't exist. You know, people were pioneering and inventing things and how to like really flip things around and, you know, brain busting things. And again, like there's OGs in the game that have been doing this forever. And those guys are kind of like with the circle of the sessions going on. Those are the big dogs, you know, that have been in the game since the 70s and 80s.
Can you name some names?
I don't know if I'm supposed to name names, but I think if they hear this, they know who they are, and I'm just a big, big shout out to them. You know,
to whoever you are,
they know who they are.
What's this?
This is First Choice, Love Thang.
Let's go.
Love thing, yeah. It ain't no game. What it is?
these, what are they? What are they? Remixes?
I'm gonna say it's a remix. Just because I think a distinction needs to be made between a remix and a re-edit. Yeah. And I think for me, in my opinion, a re-edit is when you just have nothing else to work with but the track itself in its original format on vinyl or CD or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no overdubs, there's no additives, it's just rearranging and splicing.
Yeah.
A remix would be if you have the multi-track session, or you know, you add overdub or put something else to it and, you know, really kind of freak it. So, you know, I think
these
also,
are remixes. These are remixes.
Yeah, right? Yes.
But the thing about these things that you're doing, this is the difference between your remixes and bog standard remixes, is that most times when people are asked to do a remix, they're doing a remix because they're being asked to do a remix, which is a whole different thing than doing a remix because you want to do a remix. So a lot of the remixes that exist are okay, but they're kind of designed to please somebody who's paying you to do that remix.
Yeah. Right.
So when you gave me the tracks that you've done and I heard these brand new arrangements, brand new, just the way I want to hear the track, not the way that the record company person wants someone to play it on the radio. I was hearing you messing up Tina Marie, even though you did it in 10 minutes, as you told me, and it was hardly done. Or you're just taking a cut of vocal from George Benson. Anyway, the way you're doing it is very good.
Thank you, man.
It's very good.
I appreciate it.
And I'm into this new format that's coming through. Obviously, one of the other purveyors of this, what should we call it? The Knights of the Sound Table, right? Mm-hmm. You guys, right? The 10 of you, whoever they are. Uh-huh. I mean, one of them sort of is Dimitri.
Because
Dimitri, he's been doing some great stuff with Teddy Pendergrass.
Stella.
And some of that disco stuff is superb. So he's been doing a good job. Obviously, I won't mention any other names. But Amir, you are coming now with your CD because you've been tracking down some music, including the Shuggy, which we're going to play a bit later on.
Yep.
You've promised me that. We'll have to talk a little bit over it, right?
Because I definitely want to talk over that.
Yeah, we'll do.
And this one a little too, but
tell me a bit about Dennis Coffey, who he is, what is the relevance of him and his version of Maiden Voyager about to drop?
Well, Dennis Coffey, obviously world famous guitarist from Detroit, you know, worked a lot of, you know, film soundtracks. Just a mainstay in the Detroit music scene. A person who was founded, put on by Lyman Woodard for the Lyman Woodard Trio featuring Dennis Coffey, you know, It's My Thing, that's, you know, that 7-inch, yada yada. 2 years ago, I met Lyman, put out his record, Saturday Night Special, and he passed away, I think, about a year ago. And 6-7 months ago, Dennis Coffey called me out of nowhere. He got my number from Lyman Jr. and was like, you know, I saw that you put this record out with Lyman. And I recorded a record. Well, we recorded music together at this club live in Detroit in 68 called Baker's. You know, anybody from Detroit would know that club because it was a famous jazz club. And no one outside of that club has heard this. You know, it's me, Lyman, Melvin Davis on drums. What do you think about putting this out? I'm like a kid in the candy store. Dennis Coffey, you kidding me? Like, you know, so I have a lot of music like this because that's, you know, that's the other end of it. You know, I'm going out here either actively or people are coming to me because they hear that I'm looking for them to put this stuff out. And there's a lot of material that people have not released, you know, because of whatever reason. And, you know, it's, I feel like it's my job to sift through that and, you know, give light to it. So this is one of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's quite a lot of action going on here. And that's a really, I mean, I love the book. Yeah, talk us through the intro of this, Leon Ware.
So whatever was going on in the studio, you heard him hit the wrong key.
Yeah.
And it was obviously noticeable, so they took it from the top and he nailed it the second time. But I love keeping in mistakes just for my own thing, you know. So
brilliant. This is a nice like extended version of Why I Came to California. So that is the version you've never ever heard of Leon Ware. That is Why I Came to California. And this is the Conan Amir special with me, exclusively out of the GilesPetersonWorldwide.com. You know, it's a big one. And we're still having problems, actually, transferring some Shuggy Otis. I mean, we've got to be able to do that. Guys, what's going on? Where are we with the Shuggy? Is it all coming? Right,
It's happening.
Yeah. All right, I tell you what, because we're nearly out of the show here, so let's just do Gary Bartz, and then we're going to put Shuggy Otis in, and then we're going to have to call it a day.
All right.
And it's going to have to be another day for loose joints. All right, okay, here we go with Gary Bartz. This is the first time you've done a Mizell Brothers mashup kind of... Yeah. Rework. I mean,
yeah.
Did you see the magic of the Mizell Brothers on the 48 tracks?
Man, the Mizell Brothers are definitely up there, my favorite, some of my favorite producers. Mm. So the only other thing that you'd probably definitely be into is the Johnny Hammond thing, which is all Mizell Brothers.
Oh my God, you're gonna do that? You've got the album.
Yeah, I haven't touched it. Yeah, I haven't touched it yet.
Los Conquistadores Chocolates.
Yeah.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah, got that. You know, Dimitri did, I think, an official version of Los Conquistadores.
Yeah, I kind of like that. But okay. That's going to be a hard one for anyone to touch.
Okay.
Because that original version...
Maybe I have.
And I need that long intro as well, which is really difficult now. You'll take that. Because that intro for that, people don't use that because it's too random. And then you kind of got that mad Last Conquest, you know, when that bit, and then it kind of kicks in. That's such a good tune. I want to hear your version of that.
Right.
But you're going to do, let me, tell me
Tell me what to do is the one I...
Can't We Smile.
Oh, that's a killer tune.
Can't We Smile.
That's
cool. He's done a ballad yet. He's done a ballad.
Nah, you know, someone just told me, they were like, yo, you need to do some slow jams. Yeah. And I got some, what's her name? Sylvia St. James.
Magic.
Ghetto's Lament. Mm. There's definitely, there'll be some.
Can't Wait Smile's got a little groove going on.
It's so good. That was Erykah Badu, I think, flipped that. Mm. You remember that track? Yeah.
Gentle Smiles. Let's go with a bit of Gary. I can hear that there is a burnt Shuggy. It's coming up after this.
Thank you.
Well, that's the version that I've always wanted to hear from this song by Gary Bartz, produced by the Mizell Brothers, reworked by Con from Con and Amir. Are any of these records going to be available to the general public? Are you thinking of licensing them properly, officially, and putting them out, or just doing limited editions, or is this a download thing? How's it running? Is this just for the Magnificent Ten?
Yeah. Well, so far it's just been for friends and family.
Right.
And of course, I would love them to see the light of day in a legit manner. But from what the elders have told me, the bureaucracy, red tape, you know, the powers that be don't care. Maybe in this instance, though, I know for a fact that Stax Fantasy can be licensed, yeah. And I think they're down because I think a lot of the reasons why these particular sessions were made available were for them to be sampled and cleared so that guys can do stuff like this with it. You know, so hopefully, man, believe me.
Tina Marie, you got the Tina Marie. You did Tina Marie. That's, we're talking about records as we're just as we're listening to all this music, you know, our favorite records of all time. Tina Marie, It Must Be Magic, the whole album, Square Beers, Portuguese Love, that is a revolution. That's a classic.
Yeah, Tina's, I mean, for me growing up, Tina was, you know, as a boy,
yeah,
you know, I used to roller skate 79, 80, 81, all that stuff. So all those records are very fond. I'm so fond of the memories that I have connected to a lot of this music is amazing.
I fancy Tina Marie more than any singer back in those days. That was it. She came to London recently. I missed it.
I heard it was crazy. Someone was telling me while I was just out here,
yeah,
just blown away, just said she still has it and she wasn't straining and it just seemed to come so naturally still. So yeah,
Earth, Wind & Fire, we're talking about them. What else have you got coming up? Tell me what other little, or do you want to keep them as a surprise? That'd just be nice when they turn up in my inbox.
I got definitely some things, man. You know, it's overwhelming, and I'm trying the best I can to get to the things that I really like and enjoy as records. And you know, I think when you don't half-ass it and you really kind of try to go in, it takes time. They're special, and it's really easy to screw up a lot of these songs, I think. So I'm trying not to do that.
Don't screw up. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah.
When you do, Amir, I can hear some action going on with. So that's quite old school laptop you've got over there. I'm respecting you for that. It's about what, 4 or 5 years old. Are you on WAVs or are you on sort of MP3s here? What's the deal? Or Waves?
Yeah. I'm on the MP3s.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
That's a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
coming in.
Yeah. No.
Low tech.
You guys going to be, while we're waiting for the CD to come out, are you guys going to be doing some stuff between now and Christmas? Traveling, DJing, spreading your powers? I know you're in Bulgaria and Marseille this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. I think Amir told me he's doing some kind of crazy.
I'm doing somebody, some art collector from Geneva booked me and Lee Fields to play his birthday party November 4th. So
that's the kind of gigs I like.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds crazy, right?
I usually pay pretty
all 60 soul. I'm like, hey, I'm good with that.
Excellent. That'd be nice. Just make sure he gets the wine out because they got good taste over there when it comes to that kind of thing. What, are you double burning or what? What's going on?
I'm injecting the disc as we speak.
Just one track. Bring it over. No, it's not. you want to see his face. There you go. It's a relay with a CD. Let's hope it blows. So this, build it up, Amir.
All right, some unreleased, never heard before, Sugar Otis, Slow in Your Body, in Your Soul, Soul.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Guys, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
No doubt. And thank you.
Keep feeding me. Keep feeding me.
Oh, anytime, brother.
And I'll try and feed you. I know that's hard, but I'll try.
There we go.
Hey,
Shuggy.